All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. It's time to get to work on a Friday. And yes, it's going to be a work day because the NFL season has started. So we've got plenty to review and we got plenty more coming up. But the first results are in. And they included spit. They included I'm still, even seeing, you know, the video we saw of Dak Prescott and his involvement in Spitgate as well. I still can't believe what Jalen Carter did to start that game. We get a lightning delay in the middle of it after an unbelievable first half where there were a ton of points, and you figured this thing's going to go over the number, right, with all the points scored in that first half. And so, believe me, John, this was a deal for a lot of people. Barely anything happens in the second half. I'll take that back. Points scored. That's one thing. A lot happened.
Mm-hmm.
Included some CeeDee Lamb drops.
I recall the one. How many really bad drops were there?
I think he had three, but there were two bad drops. The diving one,
right?
Maybe you don't hold against him because he's diving, but there's one right in his freaking breadbasket.
Yeah.
So I know two, but I think totally at three. It was a rough, and I think it was a career high in drops for him. Now, he's a drops guy.
He leads the NFL in drops. Yeah.
But he gets so many targets, too. That's a part of that stat that there has to be some context there.
Yeah.
Because of the targets. He'd been the only thing Dak's throwing to last couple of years. All that said, you got to catch those. What it did, it ended up being a wasted opportunity for Dallas.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Carter gets thrown out. Philadelphia's defense, all of a sudden, it couldn't get a sack all night long. Dak Prescott went protected for most of it. And in a game that the Cowboys, I look at, should have won, they end up coming up short. Philadelphia finds a way to win like champions usually do. Jalen Hurts played like a champion. You can say, yeah, well, he wasn't throwing it for 300 yards. He doesn't do that. When are we going to get that through our skulls? Philadelphia Eagles get the win. And there's a ton to talk about from this one. There's a ton to talk about tonight.
Yes.
As Kansas City hits the field down in Brazil against the Chargers. John, we had a nationally ranked matchup on the Park Avenue campus that ended in a 0-0 draw between Memphis and Tennessee, and it set an attendance record, which we had hoped.
Yes.
And I tell you, 0-0, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
Is that squad?
I think they, you know, probably feel like they should have won the game based on their chances and opportunities.
That's what Brooks said. He said the women were mad.
Yeah.
You know, a little frustrated.
Yeah, and they probably should be because you had a great opportunity there at home to get it done, had the penalty kick. You know, you can't get that one home, but you didn't lose. So, you know, I guess that's the solace. Yeah, what a game last night. I need whoever has the voodoo doll of me to stop it. Like, I've had enough.
The sense that you were one of the ones.
I've had enough, okay? You put the pin right there on my balls last night, okay?
When did you make that bet? Deal.
Right before the game.
Okay.
You know how it goes, man.
And had you just like some Dr. Fang stuff, or you'd been reading up? What like pushed
what
you
was
over?
My edge?
Yeah,
you're asking?
Yeah.
I just wanted to bet on the game.
Okay.
And I didn't want to bet. I didn't want to lay it with the Eagles, but I didn't want to take the Cowboys either.
Got it.
So this was like my easiest way, you know, to have some action on it and think like I don't necessarily care who wins or covers or whatever, like, you know. So.
And then when Jalen Carter gets thrown out,
I was like,
you say
in the second quarter. I texted you. I'm like, you know, I meant to text you.
But I think you did. I was probably one of 100 people you texted.
If I had more huevos, I would have put more when Jalen Carter on the over when he got ejected, because that obviously changes so much for that defense.
The entire complexion of the game in a lot of ways.
The history with last night is I'll actually pull up the stat here because it was historic in terms of that total. The total on the game closed 47.5. Games with 40-plus points in the first half, which is what we had last night, 41, with a full game over-under below 50, were 172-1 to the over in the last 20 years.
Sounded like it might have been a voodoo doll involved.
Now that they're 172-2. And it was weird because, you know, the lightning delay happened, and the Eagles are a team that can definitely take the air out of the ball with the way they run it. The mile, you know, when you get that red zone fumble, it's just over. It's just you're not getting it over home. It doesn't matter how many points you have. If you turn the ball over in the red zone in the NFL, you can kiss that over ticket goodbye.
Just evidence of how good we were feeling, how good I was feeling for you at 8:49. You texted me, game total was 48, laughing emoji, and I put ha-ha on it.
That is
so
bad.
We thought we were going over.
That is so bad.
I mean, you jinxed it.
I did. I didn't think
you
it was
don't
possible
do that.
To
you
jinx
did.
That, though.
But that's how good all of America that made the bet on the over felt, to your point.
You got to take.
We were laughing.
Whoever has that voodoo doll, you've done enough, okay? I feel it. Okay. I felt it. And
it's a significant portion of America yeah. that did this last night. So I figure that there's a lot of people
Jeffrey
feeling
was talking
your pain.
About it, right? Yeah. Jeffrey was uh-huh. tweeting about it. At least it was pretty sickening. But it was. I will say this. It was not statistically so, but I think in terms of like what Dak brought to the table, one of the best games I've seen from him. Again, statistically, it's not there. I think he only had 188 yards.
Yeah, 21 of 34.
But dude was making throws.
He was.
I mean, he was putting the ball where it needed to go. Let me set up the show real quick, and then we'll get to this game, because it's a fun show. Anthony Sands is going to join us at 11:25. I'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more, as always. There were some interesting Rudy Gay quotes. He had an interview with Tony Allen and Zach Randolph. And it's kind of what we do now. Like time passes, and we just kind of say anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
While all of a sudden, the Grizz were going to win the championship in 2013 now. If they had not traded away Rudy Gay.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, like, I mean, we could... Hey, buddy, y'all got swept by the Spurs. I mean, let alone the Heat. It wasn't. That was a good team. I'm not trying to but we just get on these podcasts and just say anything. Now.
I mean, we did it this year with OKC. We had them. Ja had figured them out. What, right. what are we talking about?
Now that's ridiculous.
That's our story.
What Rudy said was more believable. But yes. Anyway, we'll talk to Anthony about that at 11:25. 12:25. You guys remember the Shohei Ohtani interpreter? Who went to prison for stealing money from him to place bets?
Yes, I believe there's a part of Brad, our executive producer, a man on 1 and 2 that still believes it was Shohei making those bets. Isn't that right, Brad?
Can you come to the front and confirm?
If I were to speculate, which I'm not, yeah, of course.
See, we had this conversation when you were gone. I was surprised. I thought
think this story is ubiquitous. It was everywhere. If you missed this story, you were on Mars.
Right.
It's Shohei, and essentially the belief, not my belief, maybe it might, the belief is that Shohei got off and then we got a fall guy here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
of course.
Well, Ipe Mizuhara was the interpreter who went to prison. And those bets were placed with an illegal bookie. All right, we talk about all the time, PPHs, just operations that are not regulated and are not legal. Well, the guy that was taking the bets and who was running that operation that Ipe was betting into is Matthew Boyer, and he is going to join us today at 12:25. So the bookie that was taking the bets from Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is going to join us at 12:25, and he too is going to prison. He has to report.
Of course.
He has to report for a year next month, but he's going to be nice enough to join us at 12:25. And he has a book out. It's called Recalibrate, Jason. I think, this is a guy who his attorney, when he was, learning his fate, I believe it was last week, actually, the attorney said that Matthew was one of her most extraordinary clients ever, because despite the fact that he was doing this, despite he was, quote unquote, running an illegal whatever operation, he was the most dedicated family man that she's ever seen. He made time to go to all of his kids' games, events, things like that. I mean, it's the guy has an unbelievable story.
Yeah. I don't know how he was able to do all that with everything he had going on.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about his gambling problems. He talks a lot, because it wasn't just sports betting. It was like blackjack. It was, just the stuff that you think about, right? Just the stuff that you do to get a rush, and swings of millions of dollars at a time. There was an interview he did with Soft White. What is it? Soft White Underbelly. Are you familiar? Anybody familiar with that series? I think it's on. It's on YouTube. No. It's very popular. It's like they always do the interviews with people in black and white. Anyway, he talks there about betting into a Costa Rica operation and having to fly down there to get $1 million payout. I mean, it's just the guy is living and has lived an amazing and crazy life, and he's going to join us at 12:25, and I think we could just ask him about anything. So you want to ask him, Brad, if you want to ask him, what it was like taking bets from Shohei Ohtani, I mean, you could certainly step up to the plate, man.
He did. He thought that at one time, that it was Shohei making the bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's open to talk about.
That's right.
So this cat will say it. He'll answer that.
Well, I think he'll say what Jason just said, which is he thought it was him, and then all he knows is that he's getting paid from the guy.
Exactly.
People don't talk on the phone anymore; they text.
Well, I think he'll let us know, and we got to move. But I think he then became convinced
right.
that this was an interpreter yeah. who was extremely bad at yep. it, and he yep. didn't know whether yep. Shohei was cool
right.
with this money coming in from the interpreter or whatever else. But exactly. at that point,
there
he
you
said,
go.
Just taking the
this
bets.
The interpreter, I'm taking yeah. the bet.
That's right. And, wow. and he's losing, and he's losing a lot. So anyway, Matthew's going to join us at 12:25. Make sure you don't miss that. And then at 1:25, Parthi Upadhyay will join us. He was out there last night at the Memphis women's soccer match, so we'll talk to him about that. Memphis basketball was out there as well. So lots to get to with Parthi Upadhyay. That's the show today. Looking forward to it. But yes, the Eagles hold on last night against the Dallas Cowboys, 24-20. Cowboys moved the ball pretty consistently, certainly through the first half. You know, some adjustments, a weird second half. The lightning delay kind of messed some things up. Miles Sanders turnover there in the red zone. And Jalen Hurts kind of just does enough, right? Like, he, that's kind of what we come to expect from him, like getting the first downs, moving the chains.
I mean, I got a hard time saying that Dak Prescott, and you're right, he played well, but talking about his performance ahead of Jalen Hurts, is the dude was 19 of 23. I know it's just 152 yeah. yards, but he also led his team in rushing and runs for two touchdowns.
No, he was great. He was great.
Like, he was that's a fantastic performance, zero turnovers. I mean, so that's the thing about it. And that's not directed at you. I just this I heard a little bit this morning too. Like, it was an okay performance from Jalen Hurts. This is what he does. It was a great Jalen Hurts signature performance. This is, he doesn't turn it over. He runs two touchdowns in. And he's 19 of 23, and no AJ Brown catches one ball, and yeah. so you don't have a receiver that's going off. That's not how they win all the time.
Yeah, yeah, no.
A great performance from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you know, and I thought Saquon looked pretty fresh.
He did.
You know, I mean, he's kind of like picking up where he left off last year. I don't know what he finished with last night. He had
60. Dallas did. Yeah. I mean, holding him to 3.3.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah,
you know, solid job. But yeah. he did look fresh. I mean, looks fine.
Yeah. So look, I think. My bottom line is a couple of things. One is, it's hard to really gauge the Eagles' defense without Jalen Carter, because like, how different does this game look if he's in? I mean, I don't know. I think probably a lot, because he's a nose tackle, right? Nose tackles are just so disruptive, the great ones, that you like that Javonte Williams is at 54, more like 24, 34, you know? I mean, I think it just kind of changes everything. But with that being said, what we saw, There was some real regression on that defense.
Yeah, they couldn't get a sack all night.
Yeah.
Dak went protected for most of the night. It wasn't a deal where he was scrambling for his life. Philly usually creates that chaos with its front four that's anchored by Jalen. He's an absolute game wrecker.
Yep.
And so you saw it. Dallas moved the ball up and down the field. Now, they may do that a lot this year, having, again, the attention that's now drawn off of CD because of Pickens, who didn't have, you know, and we'll revisit this. I mean, he wasn't. You know, he made some catches too, but not didn't nearly get the targets that CD did. But they're moving up and down the field. You don't typically see that against a Philly defense. It changed everything. Now, I will say this, I don't think enough people are talking about it. And I think it was Chris Collinsworth that was saying this. And at the time, I was thinking, you know what, they'll warm back up, they'll get back out there, they'll be fine. But that lightning delay, it really does. It seemed to slow down everything in terms of reaction, whatever else. Like, you had two, it felt like different teams almost in the second half. It changed everything about the game,
yep.
is the point I'm making. Yep. And so, no, Dallas, I mean, had every opportunity still to win that game there late, whether it's the Miles Sanders fumble, the CD Lamb drops. And I think they got to be looking at wasted opportunity. A lot of it's today is, well, they should feel encouraged after trading Micah Parsons and having the chance to win.
Yep.
I feel like it's opportunity lost. This was one there where you baited one of their best players into getting thrown out. You should have won this game. It was there for the taking, even with a 3-point second half, and you missed out on that chance. You had a chance to beat the defending champs.
Yep.
On opening night.
Absolutely.
Huge NFC East win, yep. it would have been for
yep.
you,
yep.
and you let it slip through your fingers. And especially with a guy like CD, who's supposed to be one of the best. Yes, three drops tied his career high.
Yep.
He had seven all of last season.
Yes.
Now, I know he's got some of the most drops since 21.
Yep.
But three drops is still in one game as uncharacteristic as his career high.
So I think the way to sort of frame this game, one of these two things has to be true. Either the Eagles are going to take a step back, or the Cowboys are better than maybe we thought.
Eagles don't have to take a step back because Jalen Carter can be right back in there and they can go back to doing the exact same things they plan to do. Now, they clearly have some corner issue.
Right.
They got to get that figured out.
Yep.
But that's something
But if Jalen Carter's there, it may not matter.
It makes them better.
Right.
You're getting the rush again. They had zero sacks last night.
Yeah.
That was a game they stole, bro.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
He's the anchor of that defense.
Yeah.
In terms of he makes everyone better.
I do think he is that good.
And so I think Philly is like, got one that we weren't supposed to get. We were going to be talking about how do we bounce back and everything else.
Cowboys left money on the table.
And you feel stronger about that when you take away one of your top players and you still find a way to win the game.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, Jalen Carter, you'd probably say, is like Chris Jones, right? Like, if you take Chris Jones off the Chiefs defense.
He's one of the most dominant defensive linemen in the game.
Yeah.
And he's only in his, third, fourth year, whatever it is. I mean, what was it, a couple of drafts ago that we...
Yeah.
Oh, the Bears should have taken him. They got Darnell Wright that year. I think it's third year. He's going in his third year.
What is Jalen Carter in the top 100? Do you know?
No.
I'm going to look. I would guess top 20, right?
I'm sure it was a big rise last year.
Yeah.
And because of this rise, is something I discussed with Jeff. We hadn't talked about his off-the-field issues in college and the stuff that had made him drop in the draft because he had been such a dominant defensive player and had lived up. So far in terms of the potential and was doing that. So we hadn't talked about his behavior or anything else. And then last night, he gets baited into it. But dude is an absolute
stud. He's 43 on the top 100. And the year before, he was not ranked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you're talking
about. The guy's going to make a jump probably into the top 20 this year.
Yeah.
So long as, he plays. I would still suspend him for a game. I'm not playing this stuff if I'm Goodell.
Well, the thing about Jalen Carter, too, is like his numbers won't jump out at you, but it's because he draws doubles and he lets other guys, get sacks. So whoever the edge rusher is for the Eagles was going to benefit, by him. So, yeah, I mean, that could be true. I mean, I just feel like maybe, if there is a team out there that has a strong offensive line, which the top of the NFC should have, whoever that may be, come into the season, the Eagles are gettable. Just because, like, A.J. Brown didn't do anything last night.
Didn't he? 19-23.
Yeah. And they did what they had to do. They got the game, and that's in the end.
A.J. got a big conversion late when they needed it.
But did you see repeat Super Bowl champ last night? Is that what you come away from?
A team fully capable of that, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing changes about
that. No, I
think the other part, what you said about Dallas, can be true.
Right, both things
can be true. I said that. Dude, CD is uncoverable now that you have George Pickens there.
It's very true.
You could bracket it. Remember last year they were putting him in the slot?
Yes.
Just trying to because defenses would just focus and you had to find all these creative ways to get CD land the ball. You don't have to do that anymore. They're gonna be Dak a couple of years ago was like second in MVP voting.
Yep.
I mean, he is not far removed from that. And so that offense can still be great. They can be better against the run. I still don't think in that division. They'll battle for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. So I think that part of what you just said there, the one or the other, Dallas is a little bit better. But
right.
But weren't we leaning towards the over on the 7.5 season win total anyway?
Over. And I think
so
they will go over.
I feel good about that. Yeah. I come away feeling good about that.
They will absolutely go over. Just because, I mean, the defense didn't look bad. Yeah, I didn't come. I mean, Kenny Clark got a sack. I didn't come away thinking like, damn, if
and
Michael Parsons,
he's going to play more, and he's going to play more, and that's part of the reason I think you're able to hold Saquon Barkley 3.3 yards rushing,
right?
Because they're going to be better against the run. They were one of the worst teams in the league.
Was a very vindicating night, even though they lost for Jerry Jones, because the defense pretty much did the job. I mean, they held Philly to 24 points. They Saquon 3.3, Jalen Hurts to 153, like.
I get that, and I'm sure at one point he's smiling wide in that game.
Yes.
But when the guy you paid, C.D. Lamb, doesn't make those catches.
That's true.
In the end, you've got the opportunity. You have to get it because Jalen Carter is gone.
Right.
You got smoked by this team last year.
No, that's true.
It's an opportunity to reestablish yourself in the NFC East, and you let it go. So I got to think by the end of it, he ain't smiling when he's getting on that helicopter.
No,
whatever the hell
and plus they lost.
Playing,
so,
whatever.
I mean, exactly. If they'd have won, though,
but
it would have been.
In some ways, it was. It was validating him. It was validating everything.
And I think it validates, I don't know if it's quite your position, but it's been mine that Micah is overrated. Because
we'll
I mean, again, would they have been better with him on the field last night? Sure, but like they really weren't that different without him.
Saquon would have been more successful. They were one of the worst teams against the run last year.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the trade off there.
Right.
And Big Boy and the DT. That's what he's there to stop.
Well,
Green Bay was one of the best teams against the run.
When we used to have Adam Turnoff on the show, he got me hip to this. But he would always talk about those nose tackles. Like the Kenny Clarks, the Jalen Carters. More important in some ways than edge rushers because they can open up things. Like, if the Raiders had, somebody like that, like a, Kenny Clark in the middle, Max Crosby probably have like 15, 16 sacks a year. Because like you can only focus on so many guys.
Mm.
So anyway, I thought if you're a Cowboys fan, you know, you're going to come away from that game feeling pretty – it's a loss, but like you should feel like you can compete. I mean, that I loved what I saw from Dak.
I told you, I don't think you saw the quote, what Teddy Bruschi said. Now, he's a winner.
No,
he's
I did see. And
he
you're
said
right.
That feeling encouraged is what losers feel.
It's what true losers feel. I've been there. We've all been there.
So we sound like a bunch of dudes who didn't play when we talk about they should feel encouraged. Well, no, those players are walking away saying that's what we should
have. You're right, because players think they should win every game, but like it's not possible.
CD got to make those catches, bro.
Yeah,
he does that.
Dak hit him in the hands, even on that dive, bro. Like
you're
letting
down your guy.
Yeah.
Now back to Prescott.
He let me down too because I had
the. Let's not just dismiss what he did.
Oh, I mean, I did not think he was that guy, and he like has maybe flipped me a little.
Oh,
bit.
Oh, you're talking about his performance,
dude. Are you talking about
is this the best game Dak Prescott ever played, John?
It looked to me.
You are looking me in the eye like
it is. It's not. But
good Lord, he's been MVP.
That's the first time I've really seen him like want the smoke in a way. Like
when a man spits on you, don't you think you're gonna get his best effort?
Some say he spit on Jalen first.
That's what I was alluding to when I asked you this question about whether he should just be let off the hook.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen the video?
I didn't see that. I saw people tweeting about it, but I did not see.
He spits. I mean, you can. It's literally everywhere. He spits in between his two linemen, but it's clear. It's a message to Jalen.
In his direction.
We're not playing that. And then afterwards, Dak said, well, I just had to spit. And I wasn't going to
spit
on my lineman. So I spit. But Jalen's looking right at him. And so, and credit to Dak, he apparently knows. I mean, maybe I can get this hot-headed dude a little fired up because he sent it right at him. Looked at him and everything else, and boom, Jalen took the bait. Now, ultimately, this is on Jalen Carter. This is the beginning of a game, bro. You cannot cost your team the game by getting thrown out. He almost did. Philly wins the game, but he could have cost them that game.
Well,
that said, Dak should – I mean, somebody's got to hold him somewhat accountable here. Whether it's the NFL finding Dak, suspending Jalen, something's got
to
happen where you play.
I think they need to
suspend
Jalen.
No spitting in the league. We can't just be
no spitting.
Tough on guns, tough on sexual gestures, as we should be, because that's inappropriate. Spitting, inappropriate.
Well, Jalen basically did get suspended. I mean, he got suspended for the whole game.
Need another game, bro.
What an idiot.
So he understands it.
I mean, you wait an entire offseason, and you go through training camp, and you go through all those those OTAs, and you finally get to game week, and you finally get to game day, and you spit on somebody before
the
thing.
He lost his mind. He was so pumped up. He took the bait.
I mean,
it was an idiotic choice.
I mean, he's 24, so I get it. He's young.
That's what I'm saying. He made a mistake.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I don't think it'll happen again.
Yeah.
You know? No. I mean, this guy had been walking a pretty fine line
since
being drafted and been doing pretty well at it.
Yep.
That got in his head, man.
Yeah.
And he took the bait.
Yeah.
It was foolish. It was stupid.
Well, I will say
they get the win though.
There's no better way to start the NFL than with a kick to the nuts on a bet. And it was a fun game. It was a fun game last night. I mean, it had everything. You had the lightning.
Yeah,
and
I didn't like
the spitting.
The delay killed me.
Yeah, was that an hour?
Yeah, it was an hour. I think essentially
crazy.
They didn't come back till 10:30, and essentially about a little after 9:30.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Anyway, fun night last night. And again, if you do have that voodoo doll of me, you've done enough. Please dispose of it immediately and move on to your next target. What I need to do, man? Well, how do I make it right? What do I got? Like, what,
bro? You're looking at the wrong people. You need to talk to the betting gods or our man at 1225. He can tell you how to get it turned around.
It's not about. I'm not talking about winning. I'm talking about how do I purify myself right now, bro? Do you have any waters of Lake Minnetonka?
This feels like it's still linked to last week's awful college
football
weekend.
There's a dark cloud over me right
now. That's what I'm talking about. You got to figure. You got to talk to our man Matthew at 1225, ask how you get the dark cloud
over.
You
got me like holy water in the car or something, bro.
Dude, God don't care about this. What this stuff you're going through right now? Yeah, there's a way. He cares. There's a way.
You just throw it on.
You ain't trying to step out of that like that.
Just douse me.
No, you're trying to stay in it.
Yeah.
You just want the storm to go away.
Yes. I need there to be a lightning delay.
You want it on your terms, not his terms.
I feel like
you
I'm
need
in
to
a
talk
sermon.
To our 1225 guest.
This is you just
he'll
gave
have
me a
an
sermon.
Answer for you. Now he is going to prison.
That's right.
Next month,
that's
he's
right.
Very kind to join us.
That's right.
If you want to follow his advice, he has some advice for you.
I'm not quite on that level, but you know.
I can tell.
Yeah.
My advice is never follow the advice of a person going to prison.
I think that's not bad advice generally.
On
the whole, I don't think that's bad advice.
Listen to this dude right now, and he's talking about his units and everything, and he's talking about the cloud. This guy at 1225?
Ugh.
You got to stop gambling if you want
the
to get
swings
the
that he was going through while going to the soccer games and everything else.
That's hurricanes.
Whole nother level.
Hurricanes.
I know a local version of the guy who's coming on at 12:25. Very normal, carries on a private life, has a normal job and a normal. This is very common. I've lived in this guy. There's a million of these. Well,
like bro is Katrina compared to this little thing you're talking about.
This will
cloud
pass.
You
this
got.
Too will pass, especially when you get in the car and dash some of that holy water you got in the compartment.
But no, I'm not giving you enough of that now. We can talk about it.
Well, I can.
A more serious.
Yeah.
Dousing. A more serious wedding.
I feel like you gave me like a sermon, though. I feel like you were like, you want it on your turn. I feel like that's something that you would say on a Sunday.
It is absolutely something I would say.
Yeah, it's
on
good stuff.
Okay, what are you talking about? It's something I might say this Sunday.
That's right.
I got a sermon this Sunday.
I love the, the Lord's terms. Yeah, not
John
your
wants
terms.
It on his terms.
Don't be using me as an example, though.
That's good.
That never works. It doesn't work for the long haul. It doesn't work for the long haul. It might work for a while.
That's right.
And when you truly want that, you come see me.
I will, man. I'm happy to do that.
We're going to wet you up.
I like it. Y'all do baptism?
Saved.
Maybe we need a sermon as well as respect burgers.
Dude,
we can do both, John.
I would love.
I've had a white baptism.
I don't like
a black baptism.
Do you want to get dipped in the water?
Is it going to be a good time?
Dude, the storm will be gone forever. But understand this.
Oh, I got to
change. It's new
stuff.
Terms.
Yeah, see,
are you ready for
bro,
that?
Terms apply, huh?
Dude, it's great. There's peace there. There's what do we do? It can be the land of honey, of milk and honey, John.
I like it. I'll take it
in
into consideration.
All those ways. All the ways you want and desire.
Amen, Jason.
I think even me just thinking about
the
storm has passed and I will win the next 10 bets. I think that's the
goal. See.
That's not peace like a river, John.
That's John's plan. That's the John plan. Good luck.
See, there you go. That's a sermon. You're going to use that as a sermon. You just change the name, but it's like, you know, that's your plan.
That's life, bro. Our plan and his plan and us sort of battling him.
That's exactly right.
And whether or not we'll get with his term.
That's exactly right. We still have time. We always got time.
You have a lot of time. You have all the time. He will always be there for you.
And that's what it's all about. Anthony Sain will be there for us in just a little
bit. He always is.
We'll come back, talk to him about Rudy Gay's hypothetical title, had he not gotten traded. And how many of those do we give out? We've given out quite a few of those in sports. Like, if you know, during COVID, this team would have won it, that team would have won it, everybody would have won it.
Sain also had, no, you're right. No,
Memphis was like going to the tournament that year.
More and more of this. He also had an interview with the mayor.
Yes.
We talked to him about
the mayor.
Yeah. Just popped in, thinking in the mayor's office, and was there this week.
You know what? That's amazing. I did see that.
We absolutely have to start off with that.
That's all. And I actually, now that I think about it, he was wearing the Ja 3s in there.
100%.
The Anthony Sain.
I mean, the presentation of you was just unbelievable.
Yeah, no question.
Shout out to him and his show. And
that's where your tax dollars are going.
And the guests they're getting.
Yes, no doubt. We'll come back with Anthony Sain. Stick around. Jason and John, I just turned to FM ESPN.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing every afternoon. He is the underground king of MIP Sports Media, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow Sain on X at Sain Asylum. He joins us today, now, like he does every Friday around this time. Sain, I see you working, brother. How you feeling? You need a rest. You've been over there humping so hard.
I don't know if y'all saw me when I dozed off. In the green room just then, man, waiting for y'all to bring me on air, man. I was struggling over, brother. I ain't gonna lie.
You're kicking our ass, man. You're kicking everybody's ass.
It's not just you're kicking everybody's
lay
ass.
Lay off.
I had a basic day job. It seems like I was not this tired. It seems like I was able to. I ain't gonna say necessarily get more stuff done, but I didn't feel as frantic. But now that I'm, you know, pretty much entrepreneur, like my days are on fire, man. It seems like I'm. It's crazy, but it's a totally different life, man. But I'm tired for sure. But I guess it's worth it, bro. I guess it's worth it.
Well, take off them Ja 3s because you've been kicking our ass with them, and then tell us what
the whooping feet
man ain't. What did the mayor think of the Ja 3s? And let's get seriously into that conversation, Jack. First off, congrats on that. I think this is the second or third time you've had him on the show, right? Saying you guys got a relationship.
This is the second time. The first time he was not the mayor of Memphis. He was a candidate at that time. But you know me, man. I'm good at predictions, man, and telling y'all stuff before it happens.
That's right.
So I had the future mayor on at the time. We had another interview the other day. He was a fan of the Ja 3s, man. You know, my style is I like to wear just like basic solid colors and then have a loud shoe. This Ja Max volume is a very loud shoe. So I had those on when we did the interview. He said he liked them. Yeah, we went into a nice little interview at City Hall. City Hall is a really nice building too, man. He's got a pretty cool office. He's got like a like a deck patio outside of his office that kind of overlooks, you know, a pretty awesome view of the city. He's got a big one wall is just one big set of windows, so it overlooks the bridge as well. And yeah, it's City Hall is pretty dope, man, for sure.
Never, brother. I've never been. I don't believe I've never been in the mayor's office. So congrats to you on that,
man.
Thing.
I went to I did something back when I was like when I had a future. I went to like a Steve Cohen like Young Memphian thing up there.
That doesn't count anymore.
But it wasn't. You're exactly right.
You didn't rub elbows with the mayor for.
No. Yeah. I don't even know who it would have. Maybe it would have been Jim Strickland at that time.
And then real quick, Sam, before we get into the meat of the interview, it looked like, I mean, you guys were able to set up the road mics and everything. I mean, it was a nice little setup in there that you were able to do in the office as well.
Yeah, for sure. My guy, shout out to my guy, Kenny Stubblefield, owner and lead producer for Bluff City Media. We jumped in. It was crazy, man, because, you know, as a black man, kid, you know, you in somebody's house or their office or their bedroom, and they invite you in there, you don't touch nothing. You definitely ain't coming to move and stuff. Kenny was in there, hey, man, move this, unplug this. Oh, hey, yeah. But I ain't doing none of that. My mama would haunt me in my sleep, in my dreams, from the grave if I was coming here moving stuff, man. So Kenny was in there moving. You mentioned I wasn't moving nothing. Kenny was in there moving stuff around, and the mayor was cool with it, and we kind of made it look how we wanted to look, but it was a dope interview, man. He answered some pretty tough questions when he had me on. I had him on.
Well, one of those questions, of course, is about the future of the Memphis Grizzlies and the lease. What did you learn from Paul Young as far as those go, those negotiations and that entire situation?
The main thing I pulled from that is that the Grizzlies and the city are both operating in good faith. They both are on the same page saying, hey, we want the Grizzlies to be here in the long term going forward. But there's things on both sides that we need to work out, and we'll work out those things together. That's one of the main things I pulled when that part of the discussion came out. He talked about where the funding is coming from. He talked with just a level of confidence, man. And I joked with him because I said, man, early in your tenure, you're the one that came out and said that you're setting this date, that you want to get this done by this summer. And that didn't happen. I said, man, but we didn't ask you for a deadline. We just want to get it done. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we joked about that. He said, I probably won't set another deadline, but it is good to have a deadline. But going forward, I'll just get it done. And that's something that I'm confident that's going to happen, man. I never was really in doubt about those type of things. I don't really care about, you know, any narratives that may be out there about any particular thing as far as the Grizzlies moving. But I trust that Mayor Young will get that done. And the Grizzlies will, continue to operate in good faith with him and with the city of Memphis to get that done, you know, long term.
We want folks to check out the interview as well, Sam. But in terms of a couple of the other, you know, some of the other things you discussed with him right there at the top, in terms of your bullet points, what would you have there at the top?
He talked about crime, of course, and he talked about how, you know, the numbers have gone down, and that's something that they're going to have to continue to stay on top of. It's not something when you push a button and, you know, poof, crime is gone. He talked about the transportation issues that matter. He said the next big hurdle that he wants to jump into, you can't knock one thing out and move to another one. But he said the next thing that he wants to get involved in big time is the housing crisis in the city of Memphis, man, and how there just simply not enough affordable housing. And this is something he wants to make new developments for people, not particularly repurposing things, but also, you know, building some new developments for affordable housing in the city as well. He talked about XAI. Saying that their tax, the amount of money they spend in taxes, that will be funds that will come back to the city, is the second highest in the city. FedEx is the only corporation in the city that's going to pay out more in taxes to the city than XAI. I think he said it's about $25 million a year. And he said that of that $25 million, 25% of that money will go back to benefit the people if within 5 miles of those facilities. There are surveys going around to determine needs, people, things that people want, people they want to see. Some of those things include beautification, you know, just constant crews out there making sure that those areas are clean, neat and presentable out in those particular zip codes. And that's something that I was excited to hear about, asking about the pollution issues, and then he said that's something that's thoroughly tested. And if it wasn't, if the results didn't come out accurate, that he wouldn't be behind the way that he is. But those were some of the hot button issues for sure that we talked to him about. And I came out very, very optimistic about the things that he was saying.
Good to hear. All right, there's some other things I want to throw at you, other interviews that have taken place. Rudy Gay said, had he not been traded, this is on a podcast with Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. He said, had he not been traded, the Grizzlies were going to win the title that year. Now, are we just saying anything on the podcast these days?
Hey, that whole narrative, man, shout out to the people who created the anti-Rudy Gay stuff. But 45-year-old me does not see that timeline the way that 30-something or however old I was me saw it.
Interesting. Like, what changed?
Common sense, bro. Like that. We've been chasing that guy ever since we got rid of that guy, bro. That team ended up going to the conference finals that year, but that team desperately lacked scoring against the San Antonio Spurs. And what world are you getting rid of a 6'9" athletic 20-something point per game score in the middle of the season and thinking your team's gonna get better? Like, you, that's what the Grizzlies did that year. And like, when I was younger, it was, of course, the narratives where it was radio, TV, paper, whatever, was, oh, we're better without him. We're better without him. The Grizzlies should have found a way to make that Rudy Gay situation work, man. And it came down to, it's kind of a similar thing that you see with the Pelicans, right? When they had Brandon Ingram and healthy Zion Williamson, where both guys, two totally different types of players, but they operate in the same area. The same thing you see in Orlando, like with Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, right? It's two guys who pretty much operate scoring in the same area, so they struggle. And Rudy wasn't a guy that could stretch the floor. Zebo and Rudy struggled because of those type of things. But that's something that, you know, Lonnie Hollins should have figured out how to make that work. And he should have figured out how to make those guys coexist. And I agree. If the Grizzlies had Rudy Gay that season, they would have been a better team than having Tayshaun Prince be your starting small forward in the playoffs against the Spurs. Now, I know Rudy was not nearly the defender Tayshaun was, but I do believe that, in hindsight, that Rudy Gay trade was not as good as people tried to make it out to be back when it happened.
Yeah.
Was Rudy's never an all-star, was he?
No.
No, never an all-star.
The only argument I guess I would have for that is, like, if he was really that guy, he would have done it somewhere, and he never did. Like, he never put in any other team he was with, and he was on quite a few.
He was never, like, that guy on another team. Like, he's not a dead guy type of dude, but as a number three, yeah, for the Grizzlies, he never was on the team as good as his Grizzlies team was. But as a number three, number four option, yeah, he could have been that guy for us. But, like, ask him to go take the Sacramento Kings to that. I mean,
wasn't that the problem? Is like, he didn't think he was a third option. Like, he thought he was a one.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, if you got a guy that talented on your team, the solution isn't trade him. It's to figure it out, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, this, you just figure it out, bro. Like, you don't trade that guy for. If we didn't get the return we got for Rudy, was trash, bro. Like, for a guy at that level, we don't even think we got a first round pick for that deal. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We got like Ed Davis and Tayshaun Prince. Like, we should have been able to get more for him in that trade, man. And he's a guy that probably would have been better keeping him than it would have been, you know, trading him for what we traded him for.
How high are your hopes? And we've been kind of, you know, hoping, I guess, and pinning it on how well he's playing. But, and we've seen it from Santi in international play before, but he's playing really well in Eurobasket. We were talking about it with earlier in this week. Is this important? Do you feel, I mean, any time out feels for Santi Aldama feels like it can be an opportunity to get better. Is it a good omen for what we're expecting from Santi this year with the Grizzlies?
I mean, we've kind of been down this road before with him, man. Santi's just an inconsistent player. Like, we've seen Santi look even better than this in international play. You know, in the Olympics, we saw, you know, Santi look good. In FIBA basketball a few years ago, Santi's just an inconsistent player, man. But that's not saying he's a bad player. I think he's a really good player. I think having Santi on this team is really going to help us this year. He's kind of a forgotten player when you start talking about the pecking order or guys who could really help this team out. Santi's really poised to have a really good season. You know, they didn't sign him, you know, for fun. He's a guy who can definitely contribute and also a guy that has value across the league. So I'm looking forward to what Santi does. He's got to step up, man. You know, I think there's going to be a long runway for him, a long leash, I mean, for him to do his thing under Coach Isolo. We're really going to need him to go there as well. When you lose a guy like Desmond Bane, who's giving you those 20 plus points a game, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck as far as making up for those points you lose. And Santi's a guy that I think can really get that done. But I don't really pay too much attention to what he does in international play. I don't really pay too much of what any of these guys do in international play, bro. We had Rondé Hollis-Jefferson looking like cosplaying as Kobe Bryant.
That was like a whole thing. He was like,
he
was like cosplaying as Kobe.
Yeah, like, and he was scoring like 30 a game. Like, he literally transformed himself.
Hey, he'll never buy a drink in Jordan ever again. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there, but
apparently he does. So
yeah, I don't really pay too much attention. Like Dennis Schroeder looks like Michael Jordan.
I ain't gonna lie, I know
he's playing international.
While we're on the subject, and you bring up, it just makes me think about, because I actually am watching EuroBasket and mm-hmm. I enjoy FIBA basketball. I hate naturalization. I hate it. I hate the fact that I turn on a game, and this has nothing to do with race. Okay, let me just say that mm-hmm. outright. Like, I guess it does, but I don't mean it in that way. But like a dude that went to Temple is playing for Poland. You know, it's like, come on, bro. What are we doing here, man? You know, in the U.S., right, we've naturalized some. Like Joel Embiid, you know, he played for us in the Olympics last mm-hmm. year. I don't know. I just like it when it's like actually, if you're not actually from there and the only reason you're on the team is because you work there, I feel like that should not be allowed.
I thought you had to have some type of family or something from there.
Well, you get like just citizenship.
Oh, citizenship, yeah.
Yeah, like the guy from Temple who I'm talking about, his name is like, mm-hmm. I don't even know his name. He's an American, right? He's from America. He went to school mm-hmm. here. He's from here. But he plays overseas in Poland. And so he got citizenship, and so he's on the national team. And he's awesome. He's like their best player. But I just feel like that should not be allowed.
I just think that speaks to how, like, people try to create these narratives like the world has caught up with the United States. It hasn't, bro. United States is still far, far away from these other countries, bro. Like, and if you have to put together, you know, a world team to take on one country, it kind of shows you how far ahead
exactly
the United States still is from these other countries, man.
They're naturalizing.
Yeah, that is kind of
weird. Naturalizing Americans to keep up with America.
Right. Right. Still be a really bad team. Yeah.
It's a dude for Israel whose name is Kadeem Carrington. Come on, man. Stop it. He went to Seton Hall.
I'm with you, bro.
The Catholic school, man.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. And God bless America, man.
That's right. We still produce the best, even for Israel and Poland.
Yeah, for the whole world. We making all these teams good, for sure.
Y'all sound like
We gave them folks Kobe Bryant. We gave them Kobe, man.
And they love him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their alcohol choice is in, Jordan, but he got it for life.
I was looking at Santi's number real quick, and more important going forward for the Grizzlies, Santi Aldama or Brandon mm-hmm. or Brandon Clark.
Say it again. You start breaking
more,
up, bro.
More important going forward. More important for the Grizzlies going forward in terms of their roles, Santi or Brandon mm-hmm. or Brandon Clark.
I think Santi, man.
It has to be, right?
Yeah, I think Santi is more important. Like BC cannot be good. I think you still can kind of get away with being okay. But I think Santi has to kind of, then I'm thinking as far as like trade value, like I really don't see, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them aren't here by the trade deadline, but I really don't think BC is going to be here past the deadline at all.
Would you agree with, we've seen this, not to interrupt you, but to add mm-hmm. to it, would you agree we've seen the ceiling on BC where it feels like, and I'm with you on the international stuff with Santi and I want to see it consistently, but that there mm-hmm. there is more of a ceiling feels like with Santi, and that you want to play that out.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely got a longer runway of what he could be. Those injuries have really depleted BC's game. You're talking about a guy that, you know, his rookie season, man, that guy was just a straight jumping jack, man, like a pogo stick for real. Like, you just super active around the basket, tip ins that floater was money. He just doesn't have those skills like he used to. You know, he's still a guy who plays with a lot of grit, a lot of heart, plays really hard for this team, and definitely still contributes. But he's not the guy that he was. You know, that he looked like in those first few years of his season. And we don't know what he's going to look like this year. He's coming back, you know, from another injury. So everybody's saying that he should be ready to play by the time the season starts. But, you know, we don't even know what that looks like. So I definitely think that Santi's poised to have a bigger season. I kind of see – I hate to say this about a guy who we saw come in and, you know, we haven't been an organization that's drafted a lot of guys, and we draft them and develop them. We see them grow. And BC is one of those few guys we've seen in the history of this franchise. You know what I mean? So it's hard to kind of say this, but it kind of feels like that BC's time here is, you know, kind of on the clock. It feels like he's more of a trade number than he is an actual guy to look forward to, you know, go forward in the future.
And you know what? I mean, Santi could be the same thing, too. Like,
if
he has an awesome mm-hmm. year, you could flip him and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, or you could keep him.
It could be a guy that could really – because mm-hmm. that's another thing, too, about Santi, man. Like, I talked about Santi super inconsistent, and we roll our eyes at the fancy passes and, just some of the bad shots he takes sometimes. But Santi's also a guy who, if you would have asked me this time last year, like to make a list of guys, like to draw a line and say, these are the guys I think are going to contribute in the playoffs and these are the guys that are not. I would have put Santi in. Like, no way. I don't trust Santi in the playoffs. But Santi had a good playoff series, man.
Yeah, so that game, game four. So. I mean,
looked
that
like
was
he belonged.
Yeah.
That was an impressive game four for sure.
Yeah,
and last year I'm looking at 37% from three. That's gone up each year, mm-hmm. just about. And you look at the rebounding numbers have gone mm-hmm. up each year. So you're right. It's kind of been off and on. It hasn't been consistent, but it's been constant improvement. And I'd like to see that, you know, he has to take his part in this and take that next step, especially now that you've been paid. But mm-hmm. I'd like to see that play out here. It feels like he has them. There's still more.
He's still super young, too, man. Santi's like, what, 24 or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. Santi, he could.
24. You
he
nailed
can
mess, it.
Yeah. Yep. He could have a really good season this year and really put himself into a totally different type of conversation.
Use
sure.
Yeah. Anthony, great stuff as always. Congrats on the success on the interviews. It's nice to see,
man.
You know, hard work get rewarded. You deserve it. And thanks for coming on with us every week.
Appreciate
man.
You, Sane.
Appreciate y'all, man. Yep.
Yes, sir. He is Anthony Sane. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, I actually did watch Spain Greece yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Spain lost, so they're done. They, you know, kind of a precipitous, you know, or I should say unceremonious exit for them because they usually win these kinds of things.
Was he awful yesterday?
I wouldn't say he was awful.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
He was okay.
Yeah, just talked all glowingly about him, and he was just pathetic.
It wasn't his best night.
Gotcha.
It was not his best.
Well, he can't do it by himself, although he is the leader of that thing.
Now. Yeah. And the guard play is kind of.
Yeah, we talked about the demise.
You know, he's better. He is actually better than I thought. 6 of 14, 19 points, 12 rebounds.
Dude, I love the concept. We need his rebounding.
Yeah,
that
sure.
Like the six rebounds he needed to continue to go up, but particularly on a team where Jaren doesn't do that.
It's really a shame that he can't guard. That's the only part of his game that you know is missing.
But you don't get better at that with not being out. You got to be out there.
Yeah.
So I mean, he can get you know to a point where he's not so much a negative.
Yeah, I mean, he would star for a lot of teams in the NBA. I truly believe
the way he rebounds and knocks down threes at his size.
Yeah.
I mean, that rate was up to 37% last year.
I mean, if Jaren could play the five, he'd start for the Grizzlies. Don't you think?
Probably.
But
Jaren can't play the five.
And that's why they have to draft ED and, you know, it just kind of changes your entire configuration.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy who, you know, he has the basketball profile that teams just are in constant pursuit of. Pass, shoot, dribble. He does that, and he's big, and he rebounds. So he does a lot of things. He checks a lot of boxes. So, you know, come time, if and when the Grizzlies need to push a button or whatever the case may be, super flippable contract player there, you know. So, all right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. We're going to be joined by Matthew Boyer at 1225, who is best known to you, the audience, as the bookie for Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. But there's a lot more to him than that. There's a lot more to his life and to his story than that. So he's going to join us at 1225. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.